Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Philadelphia Flyers by a 4-1 margin from high atop the ice surface. Welcome to the Illegal Curve postgame podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Michael Remus. Richard, the Jets get a 4-1 victory, a game they absolutely had to have to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, Drew, and it, you know, didn't start out too well, but it rounded into form in the second period, and I think this game really was a tale of two periods, not three. I think the third period the game was over. First period, Flyers were the better team. Second period, the Jets were the better team by a bigger margin than the Flyers were in the first period, at least on the goal on the score sheet. And that was it. You know, the first period was kind of like the last 15. The last five games, the last 15 periods.
Yeah.
But after that, the Jets turned around and, hey, you know what? That's exactly what they needed. And we talked about it this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show that they need to go 7-2 to have a chance. And one down, and need to go 6-2 now to have a chance.
That's right. The ice was tilted significantly in the first 20 minutes of this game. The Jets, I think, were outshot by something like a 12-4 margin, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't have a shot on goal in the second 10 minutes of the first period. So really, to be only down 1-0 was sort of a fortuitous opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets, and they took advantage of it in the second period.
They did take advantage of the second period. The first period, a lot of possession and forechecking in their own zone by the Flyers. I thought the Flyers looked good. I thought in the second period, I thought the key to the game really was just taking advantage of the Flyers' awful defense, frankly. And they did just that. And I'm assuming that was the game plan, and it just took them a little while to, you know, implement it. But once they did, and once again, you know, it's confidence is a funny thing. I was talking about it with somebody up here. Confidence, you know.
Yeah.
They get a goal, they get confidence. They get two, they get confidence. And obviously, it was, you know, one after another, but you get a weight off your shoulders. You feel like you can do things. You feel more confident to try things. You feel more confident to shoot, more confident to pass. When you're tentative, when you lack that confidence, and everything seems to not work. So kudos to the team and for turning it around tonight, because they could have packed it in, and based on the past few games, you thought they might have.
Absolutely right. And after the Flyers made it 1-0, had they scored the second goal, this game was probably going to be over at that point in time. The Jets just, you know, looked like a team that was playing with no confidence in the, you know, and they had an opportunity in the first period. Andrew Ladd had a breakaway where nothing good came out of that opportunity.
Yeah.
And they were fighting the puck. And then it looked like for the second period, they just came out and they wanted to shed that monkey off their back more than anything. And they did the things that we said they needed to do earlier in the day on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, when we said that they just needed to penetrate and they could take advantage of the Flyers' defense, which is lacking, especially, they got injuries galore on the back end, and they could take advantage of it, and that's what they finally did, and they kept their playoff hopes alive.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the Flyers' defense tonight. Kimmo Timonen, Bruno Gervais, Luke Shen, Eric Gustafson, Kent Huskins, and forgetting this.
Oliver
Lauridsen, and however you pronounce his name. And regardless of how you pronounce his name, he was awful. And he was one of the main reasons why the Jets won tonight. I mean, he just looked brutal.
He was on the ice for three of the four Jets' goals.
And you can say that the second and third were almost primarily his responsibility. The second one getting caught too high, which we'll talk about after. The third one getting on the wrong side of the puck. And, you know, a young defender, Anthony Sanfilippo of PhiladelphiaFlyers.com told us today, you know, a guy you saw in the AHL earlier this year, didn't look that good, but he's come up here and played quite well. Well, you know, that adjustment, he only saw him a couple of times, I'm assuming, in the AHL, but you don't play okay in the AHL, hop up to the NHL and play really well. It's not really how it works.
No, usually you're going to come back down to earth, and he crashed down to earth for the Flyers on the defense today. The Flyers opened the scoring at the 11:07 mark of the first period. Ruslan Fedotenko with the goal on a tip on a shot from Kent Huskins. Simone Gagné gets the secondary assist on that one. Really, it was a shot that I don't think Andrei Pavlik saw until after it was already past him. I mean, he reacted when the puck was already in the net. Flyers win the draw. They bring it back to the point to Huskins. He really just, it's a wrist shot that he throws it on net. I didn't see Fedotenko get a stick on it, but he must have got a stick on it sort of around the hash marks or so.
Right around a little, right around there.
And it beats Pavlik clean, and it's 1-0 Philadelphia, and really no energy for the Jets in that period. Nothing, you know, no energy in the building after that goal. It was, oh my God, is this happening again for the Jets? Are they going to be able to bounce back? And not make it six in a row in the loss
column.
Right.
That's exactly what it was. The there's no emotion in the arena, rightfully so, because there's no emotion on the ice. The goal was kind of harmless shot and a nice tip by Fedotenko. And not much Pavlik could do. Pavlik played a great game tonight, or this afternoon, excuse me. But yeah, the first period, there was nothing there to build on, really. They did the possession. The Philadelphia was doing a really good job of getting in deep and pressuring hard on the Jets' back end. And they were coming with one, two, three guys sometimes, and the Jets really weren't able to handle that. But the Jets were, you hear the cliche, we've got to play more in their zone. Well, of course, you always want to play more in their zone. But I think that applies in this case, in that get the puck in deep and start playing a little more as opposed to maybe being too cute and all that stuff and taking advantage of the weaknesses that the team on the other side has. And I thought they did a heck of a lot. They improved on that a heck of a lot in the second period, and I think that was the key to victory.
Second period, they came out and they said, we don't want this to be like the other games, but mm-hmm. they really did start the forecheck, as we had mentioned. They really controlled the pace of the play for the first, 3-4 minutes of the second period. The Flyers were on their heels. Mm-hmm. Jets had some good opportunities. The most was Zach Bogosian, who had an absolute cannon of a shot, rings off the inside of the post right out. And you're thinking, are the Jets snake bit? Are they going to be able to get one past? Then coming back the other end, I think it was Wayne Simmonds of the Flyers who also rang one off the post, narrowly missed making it 2-0 for mm-hmm. the Flyers. It stays 1-0 until the Jets are able to get on the scoreboard at the 12:38 mark of the second period, finally beating Ilya Gryzgalov. Grant Clitsam gets the goal, assist to Brian Little and Blake Wheeler.
Well, Little made the really nice pass there on the Clitsam play. Clitsam read the seam, got in there, took a nice shot. But Little made a really nice play, made a confident play. A little bit of a good game tonight and today, excuse me. And you get on the board, and I think that takes so much pressure off the team. And I thought that first goal was that obviously opened the floodgates.
Well, that's what I looked over to you when they scored. Is that is this going to open the floodgates? Yeah. Is this the finally they get some confidence back? And like we said, confidence is a strange thing. And just that one goal, the Jets were back in the game and
Absolutely.
They had the confidence.
They had the fans.
They had the fans back into it too. Brian Little sort of picks up the puck around the red line or so, streaks down the right hand side. Cross ice pass to Grant Clitsam. Grant Clitsam with the shot, wrist shot, top corner.
Yep.
Sort of similar to the goal that they scored in Montreal, in that it came off of a streak down the right hand side and a pass into the middle.
Clitsam did this time the recipient of the pass, not the passer.
That's right. It was Clitsam to Burmistrov in Montreal. Here it was Little to Clitsam. 1-1. Sort of not the guy you'd expect the Jets to get the Jets goal there, but it was a big goal, really a huge goal for this team.
Remember, his strength is offensively really more than anything.
I thought he played a solid game in the back end.
He did.
We thought, as things looked in the pregame warm-up, it looked like he was going to be the scratch and Paul Postma was going to be in the lineup. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition. It was Postma who was scratched, clips him in the lineup, played a solid game. Obviously, he got the goal and he played a solid game defensively.
Completely agree, Drew. I thought they should have played Postma, and I thought Clitsam was in there and played a really, really strong game, and credit to him. I was wrong. Absolutely. It was the right move by Claude Noel. Give him credit.
It only took 27 seconds after that first goal for the Jets to take the lead, mm-hmm. make it 2-1. That goal came off the stick of Kyle Wellwood, assist to Evander Kane and Olli Jokinen. It's like we talked about, and we've talked about on this podcast, is that they were forechecking. The Flyers couldn't handle them below the goal line.
Absolutely.
A great cycle going.
Absolutely.
Evander Kane comes around, tries to wrap around, almost scores on the wraparound attempt.
A couple times today,
A couple times he had a good opportunity there. The puck comes out to Kyle Wellwood. Wellwood buries it, and it's 2-1 Jets.
2-1 Jets, and Wellwood, where does he bury it from? Right in front of the net. So, not a place you necessarily see him all the time. On the play, Laridsyn. Is it Laridsyn? How do you pronounce the name? Do we know?
Something like that. Pretty close to that, at least. Laridsyn, based on the spelling,
Laridsyn.
I'm going to say.
So, he chases high. And he ends up kind of above the hash marks in the defensive zone. He's chasing, so they have forwards back, and everybody's kind of out of kilter.
Scrambling
and
defensively.
Scrambling, and Wellwood comes in there and scores. But you're right, Drew. It's off the cycle. It's off working the Flyers' defense, working a slower defense, working a defense that has flaws even if they aren't slow. So, absolutely, that was a game winner.
Yeah.
And then they just kept doing it after.
Exactly right. And then it was only a minute and 39 seconds after that The Jets make it 3-1. Evander Kane gets the goal. Assist to Mike Santarelli and Alex Burmistrov. The Jets win the draw. Again, they control the puck behind the net. Santarelli comes out sort of from behind the net in front. And Evander Kane on sort of a goal-mouth scramble.
And I think it was Santarelli, Drew, who was the one that Lorenzian Lorenzian, right?
Lorenzian,
excuse me. Yeah, kill me on this one.
Okay.
Lorenzian comes, he's covering Santarelli along the boards, and he gets caught on the wrong side. And what the wrong side means is that Santarelli's between hitting the net, is Santarelli's direct lane to the net, and Lorenzian's on the other side of it.
There's no impediment for Santarelli to come in front.
So what happened there is he drives to the net, and he has no impediment, as you just mentioned, and then Kane is able to put the puck in the net.
That's right. And when Evander Kane is in the blue paint or just outside of it, and he's got a good scoring chance, most of the time, he's a professional goal scorer. Yeah. He's going to capitalize on those opportunities.
Santarelli actually didn't think it was as noticeable as he was the first game, but Burmistrov got the other assist, and I thought he played a good game.
I thought he had a number of he was physical in a number of different areas. Mm-hmm. I thought he played more of a north-south game that Claude Noel's been harping about. He was a solid player for the Jets. Yeah. You looked at him, and he was definitely a top-nine forward for the Jets.
Yeah, for sure.
Got some good opportunities. Did play with Evander Kane for a little bit of time, I think, in the course of the game. And he was effective, again, killing the penalty, which is where we've seen him be very, defensive. Pretty responsible. Jets scored the fourth goal. It was just under 5 minutes later than that at the 19:06 mark of the third period. Brian Little gets the goal, assist to Blake Wheeler and Andrew Ladd. The Jets end up scoring four goals in a little less than 7 minutes. So,
yeah, well, this one is at the end of the period, obviously, with how much time? About
54 seconds to go in the second period.
54 seconds to go. They're on a 2-on-1.
It wasn't even really a 2-on-1. It really was a 2-on-2.
Okay, and Little comes down, and Brizgalov, that's kind of a 2-on-1, I thought. It was cheating on the pass. So Brizgalov was anticipating that the pass would be made over to Wheeler, if I recall correctly. Again, I don't have the highlights right in front of me. And what happened was Brizgalov cheated, and Little shot, and he kind of just did the old Jean-Sebastien Jaguar, where you stand there and hope the puck hits you, and it didn't hit him.
No.
And Brizgalov looked lost tonight.
Yeah.
He's replaced, obviously, at the end of the second period, rightfully so.
Brizgalov looked shaky to start the game. Then the ice tilted, so the Jets really couldn't pepper him. And then once the Jets were able to get that first goal from there, it was just...
Well, it's like reading the scouting report. I mean, Little's going to shoot that more often than not. Not that Little doesn't pass, and he made some nice passes tonight, but Little's on his off wing. He's a shooter. He's got a pretty good shot. And he's got a pretty good wrist shot, and you got to know he's going to shoot. I mean, Wheeler, later in the game, you got to know he's going to pass. And how's Mason had to play against that, but that's read the scouting report there.
Well, most NHL players, are if they're on their off wing, are
probably going to shoot.
Yeah. That's a good scoring opportunity. Yeah. And, previously, there's some other games, maybe Brian Little thinks pass in that situation because they don't have the confidence.
Maybe, yeah.
But after the first three goals there, you got a shaky goaltender.
That's right, also true.
And you fire it on him, and, I mean, the Jets did. They made it 4-1. That was the end of Ilya Brizgalov. He didn't come out for the third period. It was Steve Mason in net for the third period. And at that point in time, the Jets really just needed a clean and easy, third period to put this one in the books. And for the most part, they did that. A couple of, sort of scrambly opportunities, but nothing of any serious consequence.
You know what we said before before that period? Just put the puck in deep, work it, cycle it, whatever you want to do. And they got some power plays, and they worked it, they cycled it. Now they had a couple chances against Claude Giroux, had a good chance, I believe, in the third period. They missed the net, but overall, I mean, they did exactly what they're supposed to do when they're up three goals. Don't take any crazy chances and do what you do.
And almost as importantly for the Jets is that they were able to sort of get a four-line cycle going in the course of the game.
Yes.
Obviously Aaron Gagnon didn't play very much. He had the fewest minutes on the team at 352. Chris Thorburn with 437. He also had a five-minute major for fighting. And James Wright reinserted into the lineup. He played 749. So the Jets were sort of able to get that fourth line
Well, when you're up
going.
4-1, you can rotate. I'm not sure what the third period ice time was. I'm not sure if
I don't have the third period ice time handy, but, it was something that, you did see them. It was an option for Claude Noel, where in previous games it hadn't even been an option.
I thought a overall really solid game by the forwards, especially. The defense wasn't overly noticeable, and I think that's probably the way he wants it too. It's a solid game overall after the first period. And it all happened in that stretch, and you take advantage of a goaltender that is weak, and you took advantage of the worst defense I've seen Philly pull in here in a long time. And the truth is, Drew, I mean, Philly's kind of got problems that some other teams have when they don't have, they have good forwards, they have a really good forward group, and then they have injuries and all that stuff, and but their defensemen can't get the puck to them, and their forwards are so much less dangerous when they can't get the puck from the defensemen.
Sure.
That's exactly what happened in the second period, and that, to me, that was again.
That's right. You know, 4 goals for the Jets in a 6-minute, 28-second span in the second period, and that's what ended this one and made it the 4-1 final for the Jets. Andre Pavlik makes 30 saves. He's the third star of the game. Second star is Brian Little. Evander Kane gets the first star of the game for the Winnipeg Jets. In terms of ice time, the Jets were led in ice time by Zach Bogosian, 25 minutes and 53 seconds. Ron Hainsey is his defensive partner, 23 minutes and 53 seconds.
Yeah.
Dustin Byfuglien and Tobias Enstrom. Byfuglien only 18:40, which is, you know, a few minutes for him, so he gets a little bit of rest.
I like that, actually. I think that they cut it down on that on purpose, and it needs to happen because he's not in good enough shape.
Well, Zach Bogosian can sort of be their horse.
Well, he is a horse.
Yeah. Toby Enstrom gets 19 minutes and 31 seconds. In terms of forwards, Brian Little, 22:25. Evander Kane, 20:26, and Andrew Ladd, 22:22, and Blake Wheeler, 22:10. All around, a good Jets victory, 4-1. Yeah. They have to keep it going Tuesday night against the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, and you have a Buffalo team that is kind of sitting around where you are, actually. You know, it's had been a tumultuous season, firing Lindy Ruff, and obviously the trades of Jason Palmerville and Robin Regier. But having said that, I mean, Buffalo's not a team without talent. As you know, Drew, I love Tyler Ennis. I think Cody Hodgson's a good player. They still have Thomas Vanek. So their defense isn't great, and the Jets have to do a similar thing on Tuesday that they did tonight in terms of taking advantage. It's been a long day. Taking advantage, Drew, of Buffalo's lack of strength on defense. Now, you know, you're going to see Buffalo's defense here on Tuesday. Tyler Myers, bigger guy, escaped poorly for a big guy, but not the best, fastest guy, you know, and you're going to have a bunch of guys on that back end who are kind of whatever. So if the Jets can do what they did today against Buffalo on Tuesday, they could very well string 2 in a row. And, you know, we said they have to go 7-2. They've got one, as we said at the outset, 6-2. They can win on Tuesday, of course, 5-2. And then, hey, majority of these games are at home, and as we said this morning on the Legal Curve, the majority of these games are against poor teams.
All you got to do is take care of business. The Jets did it in their first game, a 4-1 final here from MTS Center. For Michael Remus and for Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.